I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn. It's a Monday. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show up here on the Goodyear Hotline. And Bart, we want them, right? We want the listeners to be part of the conversation. That's what we do. We take calls. We talk to you. We want to hear your takes. We don't just force our takes on you. We want to know what you think. So, to do that, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or on social media, at Bart and Hahn, Twitter and Instagram. How's your weekend, big boy?
It was good, man. I tell you what I didn't do, because I've been getting mixed reviews, is I'm kind of nervous to check out Coming to America, man, because everybody, I'm getting mixed reviews, and I don't want it ruined for me, and it's like, man.
Did you see it? You didn't see it yet?
No, I didn't, because I was afraid. I didn't like the reviews I was hearing about it, man, from close people.
Don't listen to reviews.
And it's like, man, it's like finding out that your dad can't fight, man. Your dad go out there, your dad been tough, he's been your hero your whole life, and he go out there, and your neighbor talking stuff, and it's finally time for him to prove that he's Superman to get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's like, my dad's Glass Joe.
Let me tell you this. So you haven't seen it. I'm shocked, because I saw it right away Friday night. I settled in. Everybody went to bed, just me, my dogs, my big screen, and I just sat there, and I went right to it. And I watched it. And I watched it knowing what to expect.
Right.
It was the original movie from the late 80s. Pretty much the same everything. Same joke, same everything. So if you were looking for something a little more advanced, sorry.
Okay.
It's typical comedy sequel. The same stuff, the same characters, the same jokes. It was just kind of cool to see it all. It was well put together.
I'm still alive.
I laughed.
I'm just glad that John Amos, who played in Roots, is still alive. Like, this dude from Good Times, you know what I mean? Damn. James Earl Jones, still alive. So, like, you know, those are some national treasures. Like, man, these dudes are still kicking, and they're kicking enough to be in a movie. So I'm happy that way. I think John Amos is something like 80 years old. I can only imagine James Earl Jones, a.k.a. Cornbread. You know what I mean? No, he's not Cornbread.
Cornbread?
No, he's not Cornbread. Another movie. Wrong movie. That's Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But, you know, he's Mustafa. Mustafa's still alive. You know what I'm saying? Despite what Scar did to him, he's still alive. He came back in the spirit realm.
I think there were a lot of good references. There were a lot of jokes that, again, if you saw the first movie, you laughed.
Bavers? Was it any Bavers?
The bathers were certainly in the joke.
Did we get the scene?
No. Oh, man. No, like I said, there were moments.
Okay.
It was funny. It was comfort food. If you're looking for groundbreaking comedy, award-winning, it's not going to be that.
You know what?
But if you just want the comfort food of, I love those characters, I want to see them again with a different storyline, you got it. And that's it. So that's all we got.
Another thing.
It's sort of like the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Another thing is disappointing.
Was it disappointing? Look, it's a perfect segue. I'm telling you right now. What you said is the best way to go into it, because, and we'll go to Straight Talk, part two, Straight Talk Wireless. This is literally the NBA All-Star game is the same thing. It's the characters you know. It's the same storyline. It's the same things.
Yeah.
And it's just comfort food. You're watching the stars show out, and that's what you got. Now, the difference is that the game has changed. While we saw dunks, which, you know, like, they were all right, and we'll get to the dunk contest in a minute, but we also saw 133 threes attempted.
Yeah.
And Damian Lillard and Steph Curry took 16 each.
Highlight. That's the highlight. That's the highlight.
And that's that. The show was that. The show was the distance threes and Dame going Dame time on the game and the Elam ending with his, you know, that three from basically half court and basically calling it game. Right? Game blouses. And we were all thankful that the game ended. Like, oh, God. All right, great. It's over. But that's what you got. And that's what you had to expect. And they got together, they got it done, and that's it. Well, what were you expecting? What did you want? Because all I saw was complaining after the game from everybody else. Thank God the game ended. This sucked.
One.
Well, what else are you going to do?
One, I expected to see Joel Embiid get in a damn game time all-star fight because he threw illegal elbows to the chest of Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And I expected to see Ben Simmons not attempt some threes while everybody put 100 or how many threes you say was shot?
It was 133 attempted. Right, only needed. Right, remember, our over-under was 1.5 for Simmons.
Exactly.
All he needed to take was 2.
So I expected to see that.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I expected to be able to be able to say, all right, this is going to be like last year. Where, I mean, they bit down. And to get to that 170 was
mm-hmm.
a real fight. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you can tell in fourth quarter they all locked in. But because of the West blew them out every quarter, it wasn't even close. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? And I know you said that, hey, this is the better team. But I don't know if you can take a victory lap for that one, Allen. Because without no Joel Embiid, without Simmons locking some of these wing defenders up, you know what I'm saying? I think that's unfair. And it was clear early that Giannis was trying to add a pelt on his belt. That he was like, you can always tell in an all-star game who's trying to actually win the award. Like, Kobe mm-hmm. did it one year, and it just took me back to a bad place. Because I hate when dudes just like, they clearly trying to hurry up and get some easy buckets, layups, dunks, and all that easy stuff. But, you know, I mean, if you want to talk about who was the best player, you know, give me Steph or Dame pulling up 7 threes, you know what I mean, hitting from deep. Don't give me his little 25 layups and his
one bank shot. Yeah, he hit a couple of threes. Yeah,
one bank shot. Like, come on, man. That's throwing up hot garbage when ain't nobody. That's trying to do it early. Remind me of when I went to the Pro Bowl in 2006, and we out there just having fun, you know, hanging out. I mean, everybody's hungover. We're drinking 1,000 Mai Tais all week. You know, everybody's out there. We're basically out there without our pads even butted up, and somebody didn't get the memo. Somebody didn't tell Ricky Williams that this was supposed to be a damn exhibition. This dude not only running through the hole full speed, he's lowering his damn head. And only takes one, like, oh, it just got real. Cat started like, hold on, let me go to game time mode on these shoulder pads. Because, you know, when you're out of shape and you've been drinking all week, the last thing you want to do is have something tight on your chest with the compression. So, you know, we let it out. We start biting down on our chin strap. Oh, this how you want to do it, Ricky? Okay. We about to, hey, hashtag light Ricky ass up. All right, he come through it, light his ass up. If you want to do that, I'm going to cut you, Ricky. Come here. But, you know,
but that,
Ricky,
you know
what,
though? But that's, isn't that sort of what?
High. Ricky probably was high.
That's kind of what fans want, though, is they want to see that competition. They want to see the world's greatest pickup game. That's what they want to see. Now, as you mentioned, you know, again, Giannis did get the MVP.
Yeah, boom.
And he did so with a ridiculous night, like a record-breaking performance, 16 of 16 from the field. He did hit three threes in this game. Didn't miss, obviously. So he ended up with 35 points.
Did he call up glass?
Does he need to? And he won the MVP, and it was funny because he was a captain last year. He and LeBron were back and forth picking teams. This year, he was not voted a captain, so he was chosen first by LeBron. He's on Team LeBron. So after winning the award, the Kobe Bryant MVP for the All-Star game, he kind of gave this homage to LeBron afterwards.
Milwaukee, this is for you!
What he should have been on Coming to America. Like, that, what the hell is he talking? What was it? This was
It was funny. You don't think that was funny? It was a funny moment.
So
that's what you had. But I mean, honestly, like, what more could you possibly want? Now again, they had his game. They had everybody in the bubble. They did it all in one day. It was sort of like, let's just rush and put this together because we have to.
Yeah.
I understand that, but they did miss two players. So it wasn't a completely perfect weekend.
Right.
Because as you mentioned, no Ben Simmons, no Joel Embiid, because a barber, did this sound familiar?
Second
Do we remember?
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Remember Kansas City Chiefs? A barber tested positive. I hope it wasn't the same dude. It better not be the same barber. But a barber tested positive, and both of them used the barber. And so because of it, they were not permitted to play at all. And Adam Silver had to talk about it in his pregame address.
It literally keeps me up at night. Just by way of example, last night, you know, with Ben and Joel, you know, it was the middle of the night when the initial test result came back for the person who had the contact with them. And it's, you know, to my colleagues at the league office and at the teams, that they are dealing with this 24/7 at the league office based on 30 teams out there. There's constantly tests coming back and, you know, and what do you do with inconclusives and retests? I mean, it's an enormous operation.
It's they had to tell him they couldn't play.
Is he the
How frustrating
barber?
Did
is
that
the,
have to be?
It's got to be crazy. You got to be looking at the barber like, I want to smack the taste out your mouth, bro. Like, this is my time to shine, man. Joel Embiid is the best player in the game right now. This is his opportunity to show the world, the people that don't have the opportunity to watch him, especially from the people from the West Coast or the East Coast, because they haven't played in a lot of primetime games, and now I got to miss it because of you. I can't elbow Rudy Gobert in the chest. I can't Akeem shake LeBron like I did last year.
Or jack
I can't
up
show
some
my
threes.
Right, I can't jack up my threes and show the big man got range too. Show you that I'm the best big man in the game while everybody's out there. You know Joel's on a mission. He'd have been out there trying to yam on people, tip dunk while people ain't looking, you know, and corralling with his legs. He's a habitual line stepper, man. That's what I love about Joel Embiid. And you know Ben Simmons would have tried to play some lockup defense, especially on LeBron early on, which we knew LeBron wasn't going to play in the second half. But I think it's just a missed opportunity. And it's just crazy how it's these barbers. Was he the barber that they brought down with him? Like, hey, come down to the All-Star game with us. Because he wasn't the barber for everybody else. So was it them trying to get it? Like, the barber is in the protocol. Like, the barber is in the protocol, bro. He probably has a badge to go in. Like, he in the protocol. You got one job to do it as a barber. Get this money and don't test positive.
Well, where did they get cut? Because no one else seemed to use him. So was it in Atlanta? Was it not? Whatever the details are, the bottom line is once again, it's the barber. Like now we know. Like, that's in clue. The barber with the shears. And somehow he infects two players who now, or not infects them, but it was contact to
contact,
these
right.
two players that now has kept them out of playing in the game. Now, again, there were complaints about it. It wasn't perfect. They had to play it. We always know, well, it's about the money. It's about the showcase. Yeah. So all the complaining that I saw last night, and I thought, like, all right, well, you know, there's two people in the world. There's complainers and fixers. So which one are we? Let's figure out how to fix this then if there's a problem, which I thought everybody loved the Elam ending a couple of years ago. It became a thing now in the league. Like, oh, this is perfect. You save the All-Star game by having an Elam ending. It made it competitive last year. It made everybody talk about it. Yeah. It was exciting. But then this year, not so much because the teams were unbalanced. So players didn't want to play. A lot of guys didn't want to play.
Right.
Does anybody ever want to play? Like you said, the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
guys like to be named to it.
Yeah.
It's pride. But now I got to go play. I got to take my weekend and go do this. I don't know if I want to do this. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you. And then 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll grab some calls here as we're getting them as we speak. So we'll get some going in a minute here. But let me just give you, Bart, the smartest dumb idea I can come up with on how to basically modernize all-star games in the four major professional sports. Because if we're going to complain about these games and players don't want to play them, and it's a so-called showcase of the game, which I don't know. Has anybody ever turned on an all-star game and become a fan of that sport because they watched an all-star game? Or is the all-star game consumed by your consumers, the ones that already consume your product? Like, that's what this is. This is not a showcase.
Right.
No one's drinking more Sprite because it sponsors the slam dunk contest. In fact, I might drink less because they do at this point, watching that contest. But you get what I'm saying, right? So how do we fix it? So I got a crazy idea. Again, I'm going to call it the dumbest smart idea I can come up with. How about we just do this? We create a pool of the players who we think should play, right? There's no more voting, none of that garbage, because we all know the voting is also a joke. So we take all that out of it. Nobody votes anymore. We create a pool of the players. Now, you could do that based on, again, well, maybe we can vote. Maybe we base it on stats. Who knows? We have analytics for everything. We can come up with one.
Yeah.
But then you take this pool of players, and then we debate who belongs there. We do a campaign. People love debates, don't they? We do a campaign. And it's not that the players are involved. Remember Chris Bosh did the commercial years ago when he was with the Raptors? And it was hysterical. He had a cowboy hat on. He did all these things like he was a used car salesman promoting himself as an all-star. So perhaps you get the players and use their creativity and their social media following and everything else, and you can also have players who can also suggest, like, my guy belongs on here, and here's why.
Oh,
then you have other players who are like, this guy does not belong, my guy belongs, here's why. And then we turn it into a discussion where we start fighting about it, and we come up with our list, our final list. And if you want them to play, they can play. But I just think the players don't really want to play anyway. But you at least keep talking about the game. You have highlights that you can use while debating the game, and you do it that way. And then at least you still have your all-star game or all-star team in the middle of the season. And while we're having this weekend debate, guess what else goes on? The three-point shot, the slam dunk contest. You still have the showcase stuff that people will watch. You just don't have the game. What do you think? Like, is that something?
You want to cancel the game?
Yeah, no
game. I know the game is garbage. But
it doesn't mean that you don't have something. You still have players and executives, former players. You get everybody involved in making this list. And we all fight about who belongs there and who doesn't. It would be like you'd have everybody involved in this. And again, you make commercials, like a political campaign. Like, this is like running for office. You have smear ads. You do everything it takes, whatever it takes. You get people on your side making your case for you.
He cheated on his taxes. He jaywalked twice last
month.
Whatever it is.
What do you want to say? He flops more. He's had three flop warnings. Do you really want an all-star? He's got three flop warnings. Let's be honest. Like stuff like that. Like I don't know. I told you, it is the smartest dumb idea. But there aren't many other alternatives to playing the game. You're going to complain about it anyway. So if you'd rather not have the game, what else are you going to do that still gives you a reason to have a celebration of the game that weekend, Bart? That's the best I can do.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, let's see what the great minds out there that's a lot smarter than us. You say it's the smartest dumb idea. It could be the dumbest dumb idea, so I don't know. You know,
How dare you? On a Monday?
We got to exercise this thing out a little bit, man.
You could say you don't like it. You don't like it. You just said about playing in the game. You think guys show up and want to actually play in the Pro Bowl? Or you just want to be named to the Pro Bowl?
It's always a couple guys that never had that experience that want to be able to do the whole thing, that want to go out there and be able to put their showcase their talent. So I would think like a guy like Julius Randle would want to go out there to kind of show that he's deserving, that he is a star among stars. You know how I knew the game was Wacky D, you know, or that guys didn't want to play? I've never seen Zion miss so many damn dunks. I'm like, baby Booger out there just missing dunks like crazy. Yeah. He's the type of guy that the All-Star game is made for. So he can wow the fans and have people like, oh, throwing it off the backboard, throwing it off the shot clock. You know what I'm saying? Catching a windmill. Like, that was his time to shine and show that he's one of the most entertaining. And I thought he just probably ate too much. That's what it looked like. It looked like he ate too much. He's like, oh.
It looked like he
was going up.
But you know also, too, like it's his first All-Star. He gets out there, and like all of a sudden you can't feel anything. Like, I can't feel my feet. I can't feel my legs.
No, it's really no fans.
Like, he might have had that. Yeah, but it's still, it's still a moment. I don't know. Like, again, I don't know what else we could do to make it more entertaining. I thought last year they were on their way. This year it felt like not everybody really wanted to be there, and the teams were imbalanced.
Yeah.
The teams were poorly constructed. Kevin Durant clearly is not good at picking teammates. Let's just be honest.
Well, we can't say that because we didn't have Joel Embiid or Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Joel Embiid would have changed that game.
He would have been jacking up three.
It was unfair.
All that stuff, Rudy Gobert.
You had
easy
Damian
money,
Lillard and Steph Curry.
All them Rudy Gobert little bull crap shots.
16 for 32 from three.
You know he would have been smacking them shots all over the Nope.
That's only
everybody would have got a free lane ride to the lane, but Gobert.
I don't know.
Like, because Gobert's the type of guy, he has no skill set. Like, even when he tries to, like, catch a oop, it looks just so whack. Because he's not getting, like, less than two inches off
the
ground.
Well, it looks easy. Yeah, it definitely looks easy.
It's like watching Bol Bol or Manute Bol or Mark Eaton dunk. It's like, man.
Now you see, but the name you're forgetting is the guy that didn't play. That'd be Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Right. If Kevin Durant played, then you might argue that maybe it would have been closer.
Right.
But he didn't play.
You know,
he knew he wasn't playing when he picked the team, and he still – I mean, again, LeBron picked a far superior team. And LeBron in his career has been very good at picking teammates, as we know.
Listen, you know what would be great, and maybe this is how we do it? Right. It's like elimination chamber. You start off with your top five, and then those guys aren't eligible. Like, so now you take four off, and one gets to stay on. Then the next time you got to take three off in the second quarter. Like that way, like you only can use.
What
your
if
best
you had a fan vote? That would now. How about this?
You know what I'm saying?
You have a fan vote first, like the first half. Everybody plays
right
at halftime. We all vote who has to go.
No, that hurt people. That hurt people's feelings, man. That's gonna hurt people feel like, no, we don't want to see you no more. Like Julius Randle, we good on you, man. Like, only
he
got one
happy.
Minute.
He was happy. Only played 13 minutes.
Only got 1 minute in the first half. No, man. We your game is booty. Like, we don't want to see you spinning.
Do you think it was just a one-time thing then because it was, you know, no fans,
yeah.
it was rushed, and no one, you know, again, the concern about the pandemic
yeah.
That's still ongoing despite the fact that in Atlanta they were having parties everywhere.
Yeah.
That a lot of the players were like, I've been sitting in a bubble with my team. I've been, you know, restricted to places, and now I got to do it again for a couple of days. Like,
but it should be, I think we own to something. It should be like musical chairs, right? So that way you got to see, because think what you have to do. You have to set your lineup to make sure you start fast and end well, right? So you got to have your two stars at the beginning, at the end, and all your bums playing in the middle. But you got to have a couple people that can score in between.
Just imagine what you just said.
Yeah.
Just imagine what you just said. You said about an all-star game.
Yep.
You have your bums and you play them here. It's an all-star game. There are no bums.
Yeah, it's bums compared to stars. You got stars, you got superstars.
Damn.
Julius right. Randle is a star, a budding yep. star. He's not a superstar.
Well, technically is an all-star.
Baby Booger. Yeah. You think about right. Jaylen Brown. All these dudes, they're up and coming. They ain't the stars. We ain't come to see Tatum jack up threes.
All right. What you had, of course, was a slam dunk contest at halftime that we have to talk about as well. And a three-point shooting contest, which once again outshines the slam dunk contest. It was a weekend where it was awkward, but they got it done. That's what matters. So we'll certainly discuss that. But coming out of the weekend is the first of what could be some interesting moves that teams are making before the trade deadline, which is in 2 weeks. And that is the move of Blake Griffin to the Brooklyn Nets. They add another piece. What does it mean for Brooklyn? What does it mean for the East? We will discuss. We'll take your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN at 888-729-3776. We got Rachel Nichols joining us at 1 o'clock, top of the hour as well, from the jump to talk more NBA with you as well. And that was, of course, Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So coming up again, the acquisition that the Nets have made and the slam dunk contest versus this three-point shootout. Which was more entertaining to you? It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Milwaukee, this is for you!
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Hahn.
You feeling that?
I love anything with Oregon, man. For a minute, it was making me feel like all around the world, same song, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah,
ding,
oh yeah.
Ding, ding, uh-huh. ding, ding, ding.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Accountability time. John Michael tweeted at me saying, you just said nothing for 3 minutes. That idea... First of all, it was a bit of sarcasm. It was because there's so much complaining last night about the All-Star game, and this sucked, and thank God he hit that shot, and it's over. It's great, it's yeah. over. It's like, all you damn curmudgeons, all right, you want to complain. What's your alternative? Don't have a game. Let's just debate. Like, you guys missed the ball. I just didn't deliver it well, so I bricked it. My bad. But let's move on, because there was another part of All-Star Weekend we got to talk about, which is the slam dunk contest
yeah.
and also the three-point shootout. And once again, the three-point shootout was more entertaining. And I want people to tell me if I'm right or wrong, and I can explain why. At 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But before we get to that, Bart, Blake Griffin is now part of the Nets. As he had his buyout with the Pistons, he gave back some money. And I believe he gave back like 13 mil, I think.
Yeah,
13. But he got like... five from Nets.
Well, he's been stealing. I mean, listen, every player, listen, who am I to count on, man? But he's been stealing. I take it personal just because it's from Detroit. Like, he is not the player that we thought, man. The dude, you call him Blake Griffin. In Detroit, they call him Flake Griffin because we don't know what part's going to break off next. Damn. Like, this dude walking around. We ain't seen Blake Griffin, a.k.a. the leader of Lob City, dunk in 2 years. Like, that's unamerited. Like, really? Blake Griffin not dunking? That's like saying Vince Carter can't.
Not 3 years. He last dunked in a game last December, 2019. It's a bit ago. I understand, but he's also been injured.
But we had to search for it. The dude's 31 years old. You talk about not aging well. Talk about, hey, let it breathe, open it up, let it age. No. Man, this dude is – his better days – and I don't understand. Like, you know, Jay Weezy saying that this makes them a lock, 12.5 points.
Well, yeah.
No defense, a knee brace. This dude going to get into the triple threat position in the knee brace? That thing needs some damn WD-40 on it to even be warmed up.
Well, let's listen to Jay Will on KJZ this morning when the news was getting out about Blake Griffin, which really last night it started to become a real thing. Blake Griffin and the Nets agreeing. So Blake Griffin will now be part of the Nets for the rest of this season. And Jay Will had this take.
What a new environment does for players is sometimes it awakens them, especially when they have a chance to win a title. Something that Blake Griffin, he only really had when he was with the Clippers, to be frank with you. Those teams with CP3 and DeAndre Jordan, they always fell short. You add his play with this team, it's over. The game is over. Now, you can say, well, they have defensive issues. Okay, they have Nick Claxton, they have DeAndre Jordan. Now, both serviceable bigs that can protect the middle if they have to go big. But now when you play with Blake Griffin in the lineup, a guy that shoots a good rate from the three-point line and has a good mid-range game, you involve him in pick and pops, his game will become unlocked when you put him with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, all who thrive in pick and roll scenarios.
Blake Griffin, basically a stretch five now in his career, a guy who can't defend, and we know he's not a good defensive player. He's never really been one. And now even worse, not a rim protector. By the way, career 33% from three.
So nice.
This year with the Pistons, 31%. Last year, 24%.
That's because he had to be, right? That's because he had to be. He had to adjust his game. You talk about watching ISO ball. You talk about how you hated, you know, ISO. What'd you call it? What was Houston Harden? What was his nickname you had for him? Like, well, you need to come with a nickname for Blake Griffin because the ball going to stick. You ever see him get his move? It take him forever to get to his damn move. It's like watching my old grandpa play, like when I was a kid in high school. One, two. He like old school, like backing you up and look like he about to go for a running hook shot. Like he's Irvin Johnson in his rookie year going across the middle of the lane. Like what kind of – what is it? They don't even shoot. They don't even play ball like this no more.
But you don't know – again, where is he at this point physically? He only played 20 games with the Pistons and they made him sit for 10. So, look, he's not going to play a lot, obviously. They're looking for depth. He's going to come off the bench. He'd be a stretch five for them. I still think they need more sandpaper, more grit. I don't think that they, you know, they wanted to add him. He and DeAndre have a relationship from the Clippers. They added a piece. I'm really surprised. I thought he was going to L.A. Didn't happen. Jay Will thinks it's a wrap. I already said it was a wrap. Whether they got Blake Griffin or not, it still seems like the Nets, when they play all three guys, which we still haven't seen yet, but when all three guys are on the floor, that's certainly going to be the team to beat in the East. They add this piece. Let's see if it's enough. And now, of course, the Lakers, what are they going to do? Rumors are that they're looking more at an Andre Drummond once he gets released, if he does, which is expected. And they would add him as a piece. And how does that change the dynamic for that team going forward? So, the trade deadline's March 25th. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But let's grab a couple of calls here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Melvin, here's Mel. That's right, Mel in New Jersey. What's up, Mel?
Hey, man, good morning. Happy morning. A few quick points, bro, because, you know, I was listening to the show. First off, with the All-Star game, I think it'll get entertaining again after LeBron is all done, because I feel like LeBron made the NBA more friendly, you know what I mean, more friendships and bonds and stuff. And when he's gone, people are going to be fighting for the number one spot. If Joel Embiid and Kevin Durant played, I definitely think it would have been more closer. Now, my second point, man, with Blake Griffin on the Nets, bro, I think he's going to take the Bruce Brown role. You know, we got Bruce Brown basically playing the power forward. And he's like 6'4 or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then my last point, brother. Oh, my gosh, man. Obi Toppin should have definitely won last night, man. His dunk was more difficult. We gave it to Anthony Simon, and he's in the NBA. Of course, everybody could jump high, man. He basically, like, he almost kissed the rim the same way Anthony Toppin – Obi Toppin almost jumped from the free throw line. His dunk was way harder, and even though he didn't get it done the first shot, it was way harder.
Yeah, you know what? And Mel, I felt like Obi's first dunk was the best dunk of the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, it was the best dunk of the night.
You didn't know how – and tell you the truth, like the kid from the Pacers, his first dunk was seemed a little bit more difficult.
Cassius Stanley, yeah. Yeah, that was actually pretty nasty as well. But, you know, Simons, like, won the contest because he can jump high. That's what the dunk contest become. It's become, like, the spectacle of just jumping high, which is why – I mean, would you watch it more if it was LeBron and Zion were in the dunk contest, even though they probably don't do the special dunks? Yeah, like, you're watching that because it's Zion, like, power dunks, Zion and LeBron. That's why you're watching. And that's why the three-point shootout has become the more interesting contest, because A, it's skill. B, you'd love watching three after three just go in. There's something mesmerizing about watching somebody automatic from three. It's like watching the home run derby. So you had Steph Curry, a star, in it. Like, it made a difference to watch a star perform and show out. And that's why that contest has taken over. That's become, to me, the more must-watch contest, Bart.
They need to add something, too. They need to steal something from the big three. All great places steal it. They need the four-point shot. I want two racks at the four-point shot and add more to make them get more fatigued.
Distance. You want to get around. Distance thing.
Yeah, because of the fatigue factor, too. I want to see them pulling up from them, the ones they pulling up from in the game. That's what I want to see, the four-point shot, right, too. Four-point rack.
We will definitely see, and we will definitely talk to Rachel Nichols about more of this at 1 o'clock and see if she believes there's anything that can be done to change the All-Star Weekend, or if it's fine the way it is. We're just noticing the difference in the contest, especially what used to always be the spectacle of All-Star Saturday. That three-point shootout, to me, is now the must-watch more than the dunk contest. It's Bart and Howard, brought to you by Goodyear. Celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for more offers. Coming up next and getting it done, well, we got an important day tomorrow when it comes to franchise tag day. And, of course, the conversation around Dak Prescott continues. We will discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
See if he gets that, and with whom. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And Bart, I think today, tomorrow is a big part of the conversation, and we'll dive a lot deeper on the NFL side of things tomorrow, no question about it. But let's do Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger, and it really is time for the Cowboys to get something done here with Dak Prescott. So tomorrow is the important deadline, 4 o'clock, that they have to use the franchise tag on Dak Prescott, which would be another year, $37 million, almost $38 million if you really include all the money, and if they don't get a deal done. And it seems like they are not going to get a deal done, and this is going to happen. Now, Mike Tannenbaum on Get Up this morning had a real interesting take. As we look at all these deadlines, we wait for all these most important, but this is an important date, and this is the time. And actually, Mike T said that tomorrow really isn't the real deadline. Take a listen.
I think this is worse for Dallas because now all of a sudden he's on a one-year deal and you now have, again, roughly 30% of your salary cap on a one-year deal on a player that you're not going to be able to sign at the end of the year, because if you haven't signed him in 3 years, you're not going to do it now. And what does the rest of your roster look like? So again, I think Jerry Jones made a mistake by not signing Dak 2 years ago. Now with the cap going down, they are really up against the wall. And I think Dak Prescott has massive leverage. And if I'm Dallas, I throw in the towel and make sure I get a deal done by March 16th. Because then when free agency starts, that gives me the best chance to have the best roster short-term and long-term.
So March 16th, because the 17th is when free agency begins. And you can start really starting to put your team together. And you might have some issues if teams don't know what you've got at quarterback. And on top of it, of course, is how much that quarterback will cost you with the franchise tag. So, Bart, do you feel like, though, that Dak is the one in control at this point?
Oh, it's Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm sorry, I had to hit mute.
It's all good.
Without a doubt. I mean, and he knows this. So, you know, they can do all the posturing they want. They can do all the hard negotiating they want. I got you in a ringer. And where the leverage could have flipped is if when Dak Prescott got hurt last year, if Andy Dalton would have came in and looked like Dak Prescott and they would have won games, went to the playoffs, then they would have had the leverage say, listen, this is our number. If not, we're fine with Andy Dalton and making sure we get better weapons around him. But, man, that team looking epic. That team didn't look like anything what it resembled the first couple of weeks with Dak Prescott putting up almost 500 yards. So Dak is like sitting back in the driver's seat like, listen, y'all can do whatever y'all want because I'll take this check, I'll show up and I'll play, and then if you want a franchise, I'm still going to be on my number. So I'm going to get $35 million, $37 million, and then you still going to have to see me and give me that money in up front, which is like $40 million or $50 million the first year. I'm like, yo, I just made $100 million in 3 years. We applaud Kirk Cousins for getting $85 million in 3 years. Man, I just $15 million Kirk Cousins, and you still got to see me in 3 years. So, like, that's on you. So, at this point, listen, I gave y'all an opportunity to pay early and get it for the cheap, but since y'all guys didn't want to do that, y'all didn't have the vision, the foresight, you wanted to pay a dude that said, feed me on his tum-tum, who went to Cabo and was making y'all up and was, oh, well, what are we going to do without Ezekiel Elliott? And y'all caved to him. Then you gave Amari Cooper $100 million, gave Ezekiel $90 million. You paid them at the top and amongst their peers. All I'm saying is pay me amongst my peers in my position. And then we're fine. But you don't want to do that, so I got to tell you what. I guarantee you somebody else will. Somebody's trash. Somebody trash. It's another man's. One man's trash is another man's treasure. And I'm going to show y'all better than I can tell you. So go ahead, buddy. I know no matter what, I got $37 million coming regardless. Regardless.
And everybody believes that Dak Prescott wants to be in Dallas. Like, this isn't like a Deshaun Watson where there's hurt feelings or whatever it is. Like, it's not like Russell Wilson where he's not sure about the direction of the franchise and whether or not he has a say. Like, the feeling is that Todd France, that Dak wants to stay in Dallas. Even though it's been 2 years of this, it's been arduous, it's been kind of frustrating and annoying. He's still getting paid, though. He's still getting a really nice salary.
Well, now
so
he's not getting paid. Last year was the first time him getting
paid. That's a fair point. Yeah, fair point, right. So the point is, though, Bart, is that he wants to be there. It's just a matter of getting the right offer, getting the right deal, and getting it done, right?
Right. So here's the thing, right? If you don't want to pay me the money I want annually, and then shorten the length, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, shorten the length to a three-year extension, which becomes 4 years, and then we can talk. So they're arguing about the length of the contract because he's saying, if you're not going to pay me, make me a free agent again so I can take another bite at the apple.
Well, we'll wait and see. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, and we'll see if the Dallas Cowboys do get it done. And that's brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger's always there to help. Click Grainger.com/safety or just stop by. So, coming up next, it's Barton Hahn, by the way, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Coming up next, Rachel Nichols will join us from The Jump, and we will discuss the All-Star Weekend, or at least the All-Star Game, and maybe changes that could be made if necessary, plus what to expect next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.